So we teach people how, you know, what are the tips and tricks for reaching out to outlets? How do you write a pitch letter, for example? How do you, you know, what's that proper format? How do you approach editors? How do you follow up with them once, you know, if you don't hear back?
This is the Entrepology Podcast, the podcast where we optimize the bodies, brains, and lifestyles of entrepreneurs, go-getters, and world-changing innovators.
Welcome to the Entrepology Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Megan Walker. As a naturopathic doctor and anthropologist, I optimize the health and performance of badass women working to change the world as entrepreneurs and go-getters. You know, people exactly like you. Your business, body balance, and inner badass, these are the themes we are exploring. So have you ever dreamt about having an article in Forbes? Or sitting on the Today Show, talking about your new book, or discussing the latest wellness trends moving into 2020. I'm going to be honest, I have absolutely dreamt of all of those things. But being able to make the leap from where I am at right now to getting onto those stages is always something I've wanted to understand a little bit more about. Well, guess what? I am in luck. So as we are starting out in 2020, I wanted to bring you a series of episodes that were highly practical and on point for our audience, an audience of individuals who have a vision for impacting millions of people in this world. One of my first business guests of 2020 is Linya Floyd. Linya is a senior media coach with Selena Su's PR team, and she is one of the individuals who helps bring to you Selena's program, Impacting Millions. She has been featured herself in Forbes and Fast Company and a variety of other magazines and media outlets, and she is an expert at helping you get your message onto those stages. Not only did we unpack quick tips that you can start to use to put action into place right now to get you onto those stages and into those publications in 2020, but we are also promoting a little masterclass that we are running absolutely free at the end of January to help you really start to develop a strategy to get your voice and your message and your mission out into the world. It is truly my pleasure to introduce you an outstanding speaker, woman, and media strategist, Linya Floyd. Linya Floyd, welcome to the Entrepology Podcast.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm thrilled to be chatting with everybody.
I'm really excited to speak to you today, really about the business side of who we are as entrepreneurs and how we get to share that story and how we get to impact millions. And before we start to unpack all of this really juicy stuff, can you share with everybody who you are, a little bit about how we got to this place? And it'll set us up perfectly as we get into some really juicy content.
I would love to. Thank you for asking me that. So I think of myself as having been a storyteller forever. I mean, even when I was a little kid, those were my favorite classes, like writing classes were my favorite classes. Coming up with stories to tell people was my favorite thing to do. And by the time I got to college, I knew that I wanted to work in journalism. I was just trying to figure out, you know, does that mean that I'm going to be at the Associated Press, where I spent some time, you know, working for a wire service? Does that mean that I want to work on radio or, you know, podcast or whatever? And I settled into magazines because I just found that was like the right rhythm for me in terms of being able to really work one-on-one with people and craft stories and really get people, have content that like people hold in their hands and get really excited about. And I spent almost 2 decades working in magazines, actually. I worked at Glamour, 17, Essence, Parenting, Family Circle, lots of big name magazines that I think a lot of people will have heard of before. I got to do some incredibly amazing things. I interviewed, you know, the interviewer herself, Barbara Walters. I interviewed Dr. Oz, Marcus Samuelson, you know, Vanessa Williams, lots of, you know, big A-name people. And I also had this incredible opportunity as somebody who focuses on health and health journalism, which I realized very early on, you know, this is what I'm passionate about. This is where, these are the stories that change people's lives. These are the stories that save people's lives. I ended up writing lots of stories, thankfully, that, you know, had that capacity, because someone would read about a disease state that I had been, you know, written about that previous month, and they would say, oh my gosh, thank you so much for pointing out those warning signs. I didn't realize that I had this problem, or I finally went to the doctor to get this checked out, and I realized, you know, it was almost too late for me. So that was just like an incredible experience. I got to travel all across, you know, the globe, you know, to report internationally. I got to appear on lots of media outlets as a health expert. I've been on the Today Show multiple times, the Dr. Oz Show, the doctors. And so it was just an absolutely incredible experience being able to be this health director, health editor for so many different outlets. And I loved having that massive impact, because these magazines that I was working for had circulations in the millions. So you knew how many people and how many lives you were able to touch with your wellness with my wellness content. And that was everything, by the way. It's not just physical health, but it was mental health. It was emotional well-being. But the one thing that frustrated me a little bit is that while I was able to have this really massive impact, I also wanted to have some one-on-one impact, because sometimes, and I think, people will, you know, people listening will be able to identify with this. Sometimes you read a story or you listen to a podcast and you think, wow, I've already done a good thing, and you don't actually end up taking that action or taking that next step to actually implement some change within your life. And so I was really hungry to have that one-on-one impact with people. And so I went through a certification course at Duke to become an integrative health coach. And I got my national certification as a health coach as well, so that I could do that one-on-one work with people. And as I was, you know, coaching, getting my, you know, grounding, getting my bearing as a coach, I was falling into these different coaching circles and meeting other coaches. And I ended up meeting other coaches who were looking for help with publicity, which was obviously something that I had a lot of experience with as somebody who had spent decades in the media. So I was able to help them with that. And one of the people that I met in my coaching circles was Selena Sue, who I am currently working for as a part of her team. And I'm the senior media coach for her Impacting Millions program. But we started out just, you know, me occasionally running a webinar for her or working one-on-one with some of her clients. But now I'm doing that, you know, for the majority of my time. That's what I spend the majority of my time doing. So I transitioned out of working for magazines last year. And now I spend all of my time working with Selena and her team and clients, helping them elevate their profiles using publicity. And it was really fascinating to me when I made that transition, because I didn't realize that other people didn't think, oh, wow, there are people sitting at desks at computers, like looking for great story ideas. There are editors who are looking for great experts to interview. There are segment producers who are just trying to find out what that next amazing idea is going to be, that they're going to be able to present to their audience, but they haven't quite found it yet. I didn't realize that people, you know, thought that, oh, we're just doing this on our own without any help. But there are absolutely like hundreds of thousands of editors out there who are looking for their next great story idea. And there's no reason why it shouldn't come from somebody who's listening to this podcast right now, or anybody out there, because we all have incredible story ideas inside of us. And to get that opportunity to work with the media to elevate your profile is just absolutely golden. It's just absolutely invaluable what it can do for your profile, for your business, for getting more clients. It's incredible. And so I'm really thankful that I get to spend my time not only, you know, working with clients and who are absolutely fascinating. All of my clients, I have to say, are incredibly fascinating. And we help them do amazing things, getting into outlets like Forbes and Money and, you know, Fast Company and Entrepreneur on Fire. But we also, you know, help them share their ideas, share their concepts, share their life-changing strategies with millions of people. And that is just so incredibly gratifying. So every day is super exciting for me, and I love being able to share my knowledge. And I think one of the things that people really enjoy about working with me is that they know, because I have that insider knowledge, because I worked within the industry for so many years because I still freelance for the industry. So I know what it's like to send out pitches. I know what it's like to receive pitches. You know, I'm never giving people advice that hasn't worked for me. I'm never giving advice that, you know, isn't practical. It's all stuff that they know is rock solid. So that's how I got from there to here.
I love this story, and there's so many intriguing elements of what you shared along the way. But I want to talk about PR and publicity, because I work with entrepreneurs all the time.
Yes.
And there's one of two camps. There's people who are like, oh, I am so not ready for that yet. Mm. And then there's this other camp, and they're like, oh, I am like ready for prime time. And you know, I'm looking at their business. I'm like, well, there's nothing other than the idea, and there's nowhere to send people yet. So what I really want to do is, like, what's the sweet spot in the middle that helps us identify who is ready for PR? Because I think there's lots of articulate people who could get on a stage and speak with a message. But I'm also really aware that I don't want this to be a wasted opportunity for people. So, like, what are sort of the defining criteria that helps you understand that, PR is potentially a tactic that I can pull, or a strategy I can pull into my business, and I'm at the place where it's actually gonna be really helpful for me?
Megan, I'm so glad that you asked that. You're ready. Everybody is ready, or they're about one day away from being ready. And I mean that in a completely genuine sense. The clients that I work with run the complete gamut. It's exactly that range that you were talking about. There are people who are number one pros, you know, who've gotten a lot of PR in one area, but they're looking to expand it into another. It's people who have absolutely gotten no PR whatsoever, and they're just starting out. And there is a place for everyone on that ladder to move forward when it comes to getting more publicity for their business. So the very first thing that I would say to your listeners is, and this is my word for 2020, so I'm super excited to be sharing it with everybody, is you have to be intentional about getting media and getting publicity, and really think about what you want your goal to be when it comes to that. And it may be that you just want to be, and not just, you know, this is a big thing. It may be that you want to be able to elevate your profile in your field. You want to be able to stand out from the crowd. You know, there are lots of people who are also health coaches, but you want to stand out from them, or lots of people who are also financial coaches, but you want to stand out from the crowd. You want to be a celebrity within your field. When people think of that topic, you want them to be thinking of your name. It could be that you want to increase your following. You want to get more names on your email list. You want to get more people following you on Instagram. It could be that you want to get more clients or higher paying clients, but you have to be intentional and think about what do you want your goal to be, so that that can direct you in terms of your actions. And at the very least, what I tell people is you have to have your website up and running. And, you know, we should all ideally have a nice lead magnet up there so we can capture email addresses, because that's going to become important down the line. So we want to be able to stay in contact with the people who are reaching out to us and visiting our websites. But at the very least, you should have that website up. And we all know that's super easy to do. People can do that overnight. You can get something up and running. And the reason why it's so important is because as soon as you pitch yourself somewhere, people are going to Google you. They're going to go and they're going to want to go to a website and see something about you. So you have to have some presence online in order for people to do that. And ideally some social media up in order for people to find you there as well and hopefully follow you there as well. But once you have that up and running, you're ready. You're absolutely ready. Get your ideas together and get them out there. And what I encourage people to do is, I'm so glad that you mentioned, you know, some of the fears that people have around publicity, because that's real. I experienced that myself. You know, I rattled off, you know, all the, you know, morning television shows and afternoon TV shows that I've been on. But when I started my career in magazines, we had a publicist. I was at one of my second jobs was working at 17 Magazine, which was exactly as fun as you would imagine it would be. And we had a PR director who would constantly come to my office. I'd be sitting in my computer typing away, and I'd see her standing in the doorway of my office out of the corner of my eye, and I would think, oh no, she's going to ask me to do a TV show. I was terrified of doing television. I was so afraid that I would say the wrong thing, that I would embarrass my outlet, that I would freeze up on live television, that I would, you know, somehow mess up that opportunity, and it would be a waste, and it would be embarrassing, and it would bring shame to my outlet. And every time she would appear in my doorway, I would come up with some excuse. I'd be like, oh, I'm working on this really important story. There's no way that I'm going to have time to do that. Oh, I'm in a meeting then. I can't get away. Oh, I'm doing something with my family this weekend. I can't do that show. And I think we all do that in some way, shape, or form, right? Whether it's we're avoiding tackling the things that are really going to be the big needle movers in our business because we're going to clear out our inbox, or we're avoiding that big phone call or that meeting because we just need to organize our desk. It's too messy, you know, we all do things like that. But that fear is real. And it wasn't until I kept turning her down. I mean, she even said, she's like, can you please do radio? Like, can you just do a radio show? You know, you can spread your notes out in front of her. You don't have to worry about it. I would constantly turn her down. And the change for me was working one-on-one with a coach. It was until I worked with a media coach and I learned, oh, wow, this is how I present myself. This is what you wear. This is how you figure out what you say. This is what you say when you don't know what to say. Figuring out all those little, or not even figuring, having someone show me all those little tricks was a massive game changer for me. And that's what helped me build my confidence and my assurance and my boldness to be able to do these things, which were game changing. I mean, being able to fly out to California and be on a TV, you know, have somebody fly you out someplace to be on a television show, or be able to be on the Today Show multiple times, because, you know, once you have one good experience, you can snowball that into other good experiences because people know your work and they know what you've done. So I just say that to say, like, no matter where you are, gaining some skills, having a basic website up there, you should just be able to take that ball and run with it. And you might start small, right? If you have fears around publicity, start small and just do things behind the scenes. Maybe you're going to do a guest blog post for someone, right? Maybe you don't start off super big by pitching Forbes or pitching money, but maybe you start with a smaller outlet that's a little bit less intimidating. I also encourage people, my clients, to really identify, you know, what's your strong suit when it comes to media? Because there's so many different types of media, right? You know, some people are really great at writing and like to be behind a computer screen and type something out and get it perfect and work with an editor and, you know, submit that. And there's a tremendous value to writing guest blog posts, right? Because there's great shareability. You get to work on something and finesse it until you feel like it's fantastic. You have some partnership there working with an editor who may, you know, be able to help you craft your words. Some people are really great on podcasts, right? And they just want to, you know, be off the cuff and just kind of talk through ideas. And that's what their strong suit is. And there's beauty in that, right? Because when you think about blog posts, you know, that's something where you'll literally see when you go to these websites, it'll say, this is a 5-minute read. This is a 7-minute read, 3-minute read, right? But when you think about podcasts, that's somebody in your ears for 20 minutes, 30 minutes, 40 minutes, right? So there's real value to that as well. Some people are incredible on television because they just have that enthusiasm and they just have that presence. And so that's their strong suit. So I really encourage people to, and some people are great on stages, right? Because they need that live interaction with a crowd. You know, everybody, you know, until you get into a television studio, you don't realize how like empty it is. Right. Even though millions of people are watching you, it's like you and 3 cameras and 2 camera guys and the host, and it's like, oh, this is weird. So I really encourage my clients to kind of figure out what is your strong suit. Go after that, identify those outlets, and just start working your way up what Selena calls this, it's called the publicity pyramid, you know. And so the blog posts, for example, are at the bottom, but like stages and television are at the top, and you just kind of work your way up the pyramid. So you don't have to jump into the cannonball yourself into the publicity pool. You know, you can dip your toe in and then just kind of wade in the water a little bit and swim around and see how you feel. But the one thing that I want so badly is for people to be intentional and to take that first step, because you have to action. We all know, you know, action is the cure for everything. Just take that first step, because you never know where it's going to get you. And very likely it will get you someplace amazing that you want to be.
Well, and I think the adage of this, you know, you wait until you're ready, it's probably too late. Is true. But I'm you know, I'm glad you mentioned those foundational pieces. Like, you need a way to capture those leads when they see you and they're impressed by you. And you, I mean, you need a quality looking website, so that as people go and go, oh, this person is amazing, and are they real? You have a place to send them. And those, sometimes those foundational elements get missed. Mm-hmm. So for those people who are like, okay, you know, I do have those, and I am ready, and I do have a message, and I want my voice out there as well. How do we get started? Like, where do people go if they say, you know what, I do want an article in Fast Company or mm-hmm. Forbes? Are they reaching out to the email on their website? Do they have to engage a PR firm to be able to help bridge that gap? What are the next steps?
Yeah, great question. You do not have to engage a PR firm. You can do this all on your own. You know, that's what we teach people in the Impacting Millions course that Selena, we're actually having our fifth anniversary. So this is a fifth year of impacting millions of people across the globe. So we teach people how, you know, what are the tips and tricks for reaching out to outlets? How do you write a pitch letter, for example? How do you, you know, what's the proper format? How do you approach editors? How do you follow up with them once, you know, if you don't hear back? You know, one of the things that I share with people is the very first time I was ever published in a magazine, it took a lot of persistence, you know. And this was somebody, you know, I'm somebody who works in this industry, but was trying to publish a freelance story in another outlet. And so I wrote this pitch letter and I was like, this is golden. I know that this is a perfect story for them. And I send it out to them and I didn't hear anything. And I was like, how come I'm not hearing anything? And so I followed up with another email, didn't hear anything for a week or so. I followed up a third time and I was just like, wow, I don't understand what's going on. I thought I knew what I was doing. And so it was a last stitch effort, I picked up the phone, which is not something, just for the record, it's not something that I recommend these days, but this was a while ago. I picked up the phone and I called the editor, who happened to be the editor in chief of the magazine, which is also something I don't recommend doing for people.
Do as I say, not as I do, people.
Yes. Mm-hmm. It was a different time. Things have changed. Very quick tip for everybody, you're not reaching out to the editor-in-chief of the magazine or even the executive editor of the magazine. You're aiming lower on what we call the masthead. You're aiming lower on the totem pole. And so I called her and she actually picked up her phone, which I was not prepared to happen. And she said, oh my gosh, Linya, I absolutely got your pitches. I think that they're fantastic. I've just been on a photo shoot in, you know, some exotic place for the past couple weeks. I would love to chat with you. Let's just set up a time. Call my assistant. We'll set up a time to talk next week. And so what I took away from that was just like, this takes persistence. And that's what I want everybody listening to remember also. Like, it might not happen straight out the gate. It might not be your number, you know, the first email that you send, you immediately get a message back 15 minutes later. This kind of thing does take persistence because editors are so incredibly busy and their inbox totally runneth over. And I'm not just, you know, saying that to, you know, calm your fears. I'm saying that as somebody whose inbox was literally running over when I worked in magazines. So I completely get it. But we are people who are constantly searching for the next great idea. So we want to get those emails from you. We want to get those messages from you. We want to get those heads up from you. And publicity, you know, hiring a PR firm can be extraordinarily expensive. So that's one of the things that I love about the one-on-one work that I do with clients and the work that we do with Impacting Millions, because it makes PR affordable. It shows you all the tools that you need in order to reach out to the media and to have some successful wins. For far less than people would pay by hiring a PR firm. But you had asked me about like some initial steps that you could take in terms of finding, you know, the right people that you want to reach out to. And so the first thing that I recommend to people is to figure out where your ideal audience is, figure out what they're listening to, figure out what websites they're going to, what they're reading, you know, figure out where they are so that you can figure out where you are. Because a lot of the times I'll hear people, you know, I'll ask people, you know, what are your dream outlets? And everybody will say, you know, Forbes or Oprah or, you know, all those big names out there, right? But it does, and that's fantastic, right? Those are great goals to have, and those are incredible credibility markers. But it does pay to take some time out and step back and say, okay, wait a second though, what are my ideal clients actually reading? Where, what are they consuming? And how can I appear in those outlets? And you can just ask them. You can just go on your Facebook feed or your Instagram feed or, you know, shoot them an email and find out where they're appearing. And then what you want to do is come up with amazing story ideas and be able to target those editors there with those story ideas that are going to bring people back to your site, get people following you, get people working with you, because you're going to be promoting the topics that you want to be seen as an expert in the field in. So that's kind of the key chain reaction that you want to happen. And it all starts with identifying those outlets where you feel like your ideal clients are going to be and where you want to get your messaging out to.
They say that you are the product of the five people with whom you spend the most time. Imagine you could spend time with hundreds of fellow entrepreneurs and go-getters looking to up-level their business, body, and mindset. The Entrepology Collective does not belong to us. It belongs to you. Come hang out with us on Facebook and let us collectively inspire, support, and cheerlead you towards your vision for contribution, your commitment towards better health, and your journey of mindset mastery. We are in this together. We are entrepreneurs by birth, by choice, and by mission. We are the Entrepology Collective. Search for us on Facebook and come join your tribe.
And it's so key. And I feel like we so often miss that mark, right? We've got our ideal platform.
Yeah.
But we don't actually stop and think, where are our people? Where are they hanging out? And also, what are the next steps you want people to take once they've had exposure to you? So there's certainly value to saying, oh, I've appeared in Forbes.
Yes.
But I have found some of the savviest business people I know are like, listen, it'd be great to appear in Forbes. But if I can't anticipate what the next three actions are going to be for someone who reads that article, then there's an opportunity cost on my time and energy and money to chase after those opportunities.
Yes. And what I really want to drive home as well, I'm so glad that you brought that up, is no matter where you appear, you can still get a return, or wherever you appear in person or on a podcast or, you know, wherever your story appears, you can still have a return on investment, even if it doesn't end up being another client who comes into you. Because, you know, in my dream of dream world, I want everybody to have a media page on their website. Now, I know I said just have a website. Yes, you absolutely need to have a website up and running before you start reaching out to the media. But in my perfect world, people would have a media page on their website. And that's important because it literally signals to the media. It signals to segment bookers. It signals to editors. Click here and you're going to find everything that you need to know about me. Because it's really important for your listeners to realize that there's a difference between the way that we talk to our clients and our ideal clients on our website and the way that we talk to the media. And so what I'll get is, you know, I have clients who will say, oh, I have this media bio right here, but what I'm reading is their hero's journey. And the, you know, editors or segment bookers, they don't have time for that. That's not what they're looking for. They're looking like to get to the nuts and bolts and facts about you, which is what you would craft in a media bio, which is, you know, again, something that we teach in Impacting Millions and that I work with clients on. So it's really important. You know, that's one thing that I really like. In a dream world, people would have that like go-to space so that when the media lands on your site, they say, oh, I got it. That's exactly what I want there. And one of the things that you have on that media page are lots of logos, right? Which are quick hits, like it's a quick visual cue that this person is media savvy. This person has appeared in this outlet. This person, I'm not taking a chance by having this person on my podcast or on my television show or on my website, because they've done this a bunch of times before and clearly it worked out for them. And so even if you don't get a client, say, from being in X outlet, that's another logo that you put on your website, or that's another clip that you can use on your website, or that's, you know, another, name that you can mention in your media bio of someplace that you've appeared. That's something else that you put on your social media feed and say, hey, I just appeared in this outlet. It was awesome. Check it out. Check out my advice. So there are many, many things, no matter where you appear, there's many ways to get a return on investment in media, even if it doesn't directly in that initial experience lead to, one client coming in or something like that.
Yeah, there's real value just starting to collect that experience. And your point there around, media people who, even for our podcast, we get pitched all the time. But if people can't share with me where they have appeared on podcasts before or examples of where they've shared their message, even if it's their own recordings, I really am taking a chance on people. And even if we're not airing it live, it's still my time. It's still our energy. It's still our editorial calendar. It's a huge problem on our side when we get into an interview and we go, oh my gosh, this isn't going to fly.
I've talked to people who stopped the podcast. Who stopped and said, listen, you can't give me one word answers, or listen, you sound exhausted. My audience isn't going to be interested in listening to this. Like I've talked to podcasters who've said I had to shut it down and start over. That's real.
Yes, so it is.
When you get that opportunity, you really have to be prepared for it. And you can't show up as half of yourself on a podcast. You can't show up looking tired on morning television. You can't write a story that is, I crank this out in an hour, I hope it's good enough and hope to get published. When you get that opportunity, you really need to make the most of it. So it's really important to know how to do that.
Yeah, this is not a grade 8 English class. Like you've got to show up, but your dog's barking in the background or whatever it happens to be. I completely agree. So I want everyone to know, because we're actually going to do a whole masterclass on media on January 30th. So this is really, we're sharing all of this today as like a teaser for you, that we're going to go a little bit deeper on all of this so that people have a sense of how to take next steps. Cause it doesn't matter whether you're a health entrepreneur or you're like, I just have this mission and this vision, having the opportunity to share your message with millions of people in a strategic way, not throwing spaghetti on the wall, but in a strategic way, really is where, you know, people's careers went from here to there. Like every entrepreneur I talk to says, well, I had this defining moment, or I had this opportunity that came my way. And so often there's two components to that. One, that the opportunity came their way and that was a pivotal point in their career. But the second piece is when you really start to talk to them and unpack it, they're like, I made that opportunity for myself.
Yeah.
And I think that's what we're talking about here, is that getting on TV, you're not going to get discovered. Someone's not going to be randomly cruising through Google and they'll come across your website and be like, you are the ideal guest for my show. It doesn't work that way. You've got to create these opportunities for yourself. And that's really what you're talking about, is how do we have some strategy here? And how do we start to make opportunities to get our message out there?
You are 100% correct. It's all about that intention. And one of the things that I really want to drive home is that when it comes to the health space, people are starving for great information. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of people out here taking personal responsibility and trying to figure out, okay, how do I get control of my health concerns? How do I help my loved ones? How do I help myself? Whether it's physical health, whether it's mental health, whether it's emotional well-being, you know, these are hot topics, and they're topics across all different types of publications. So you don't even have to limit yourself to a health-oriented media outlet to be able to promote your message about health and well-being, because obviously, like, look at what we're talking about, the podcast we're on right now, right? This is very much about the intersection of entrepreneurship and health. You know, there are so many people, there are so many segment bookers, rather, and editors that are interested in that intersection of health and other things, that there are so many outlets for you to spread that message around. Health is something that people really, really care about, sometimes more than money, you know, more than relationships, although that's part of it. Like, you're nothing without your health. So those messages that I know that a lot of your listeners have to get out there are incredibly important and craved by a lot of audiences.
Yeah, it's so brilliant. Linda, tell us what people are doing really well. So those people who like do pitch Forbes or Fast Company or any of these even niche magazines, or having these opportunities come their way, what's the secret sauce? Like, what are a few of the key things that they're actually executing on really well?
So one, I'll tell you, I'll come at that question sideways. people often want to tell the story that they want to tell. I encourage people to tell the story that readers need to hear, or that listeners need to hear, or that viewers need to hear. So really focusing in on what are the pain points that people are experiencing, and what are some very specific, actionable steps that a reader or a listener or a viewer can take today, like in this moment, once they stop reading your story, once they stop listening to your podcast, what are the steps, easy steps that they can take to help themselves move forward? And that's what makes for a successful story. That's part of what makes for a successful story. That's one. Two is having amazing results. So when you look at some of these stories online that, you know, go viral, or, you know, do, you know, just get, you know, tens, thousands, hundreds of views, a lot of the time it's just having like an amazing story. It's just like something incredible, like you quit your job, sold all of your belongings, and now you're a digital nomad, right? Or it's you got diagnosed with stage 4 cancer, but now you're completely cancer free, or, you know, some amazing or, you know, you went from, you know, making $10,000 a year to now being an 8-figure entrepreneur. Now, I know that most people listening to this aren't going to have that level of a story, but I'm just kind of trying to give you an example of the kinds of, you know, results and amazing turnarounds that people like seeing. We call them in the industry, we call them triumph over tragedy stories, right? It was so bad, and then I was able to do this amazing thing. And so anytime you can do something like that, that gets a lot of eyeballs on it as a story as well. So I tell people to really focus on action steps and focus on amazing stories.
Yeah. And even when we're doing speaking training, and I know Pete Vargas talks about this, but this idea of like ordinary to extraordinary.
Yes.
Like in the first 2 minutes of being on stage, you want to go from ordinary to extraordinary and pull out that story, because it's so captivating to the human spirit.
Yeah, Pete's fantastic. Yeah, yes, it is.
I know. Yeah. He just gets right in there. I was like, let's just pull the essence of what makes something successful when we put it in front of an audience.
100%.
Absolutely. Linnea, what are some of the things that we're actually going to start to dissect on this masterclass at the end of January?
So we are going to talk about what actually goes into a pitch letter, so that you know exactly what to say when you're reaching out to these different editors and sending them your stories. And we're going to talk about some ways that people can start thinking about crafting stories. One of the things that I recommend to people, and this is how I started out, this was the first thing that I got published. It was a story about myself, right? So they always say in writing, write about yourself. it's you know, the story that you know best, but it's also the only story. It's a story that only you can tell. So that's one way to stand out from the crowd, because your story is only being able to be told by you. So I encourage people to think about that. That's what I did for my first piece. So I encourage people to kind of dig within themselves and figure out, you know, what's fascinating about me? What's ordinary to extraordinary? What's triumph over tragedy about me? What result have I been able to get for myself or for someone else that people would really like to learn about, read about, hear about? How to kind of dig in and find that story, and so that you can share it with the rest of the world and hopefully get people coming back to you as a result. So yeah, those are the top two things that we're going to be talking about.
A quick note from our sponsor, Badass Fuel. 2 years ago, someone asked me what supplements I take to maintain my health, my energy, and my edge. And they were surprised that I only took 4 things consistently. For myself and my patients, there are 4 basics that support, at a foundational level, nearly every system in our body. In my quest for the highest quality ingredients and the easiest system for consistently incorporating supplementation into my routine, I formulated and manufactured my own line of foundational supplements. My intention with this line was first and foremost quality, but equally important was a system for taking and naming the support that ease the incorporation of supplements into your life. Trusted for myself and my patients, under the guidance of your own healthcare provider, I'm excited to invite you to check out our foundational product line, Badass Basics. You can learn more or order the products yourself by visiting www.badassfuel.com.
I cannot wait for that masterclass at the end of the month. And I feel like even now I could just sit and pick your brain all day long. But what I want to actually do is I want to shift the conversation a little bit. I want to get a sense of who you are as a person, and I call this section of our interview our KPIs, or key performance indicators. So just like we have them in our business, I believe that we have them in our life as well. So I've got five rapid fire questions I'm going to send your way. Are you ready?
I'm as ready as I'll ever be.
I love it. First question. What's the most impactful book you have ever read?
So, I wish I could tie this into entrepreneurship, but I have to say, I read a book by James Baldwin that was absolutely incredible. I read many books by James Baldwin that were absolutely incredible, and I ended up writing my thesis on him when I was in college. But I would have to say, that's a tie, because I'm just like, oh, is it Another Country was my favorite, or is it going,
You can do two. There's no rules.
I want to pick one for you. I'm going to say Another Country by James Baldwin.
Okay. I haven't read it, but see, this is a selfish line of questioning for me, and I thoroughly love it.
Okay.
What were you going to say?
Oh, I was just going to say it's a story that's told from a bunch of different perspectives. I'm going to ruin it for everybody. So James, this is a very long time ago. The main character dies in the first 15 pages of the book, which is kind of unheard of back then.
That's
right?
Awesome.
And then the story progresses from there, told from a variety of different perspectives. And it's absolutely fascinating. It just kind of opened my world up to the ways in which you can tell a story. When I was fairly young, and so that's what I loved about it, and as a storyteller that meant very much to me. So yeah.
Awesome. What's the one thing you are most consistent with respect to your health?
Nature bathing.
Oh, that's so great.
I was very intentional when I found my home many years ago, in that I wanted to live near, I live within walking distance of three parks. And so I'm very intentional. I had a dog for many years. Like, we were out in that park every day, twice a day. And now she's not here anymore. But I still am very much a park walker. And whether I am walking through the park, I do walk and talk meetings with people. Even if it's just catching up with somebody, I'll go for my walk in the park and I'll walk and talk with them, or I'll do walk and talk work meetings, or I will just go and listen to a podcast, or I'll just go and sit on a bench and just be in nature. Because, science shows it has a benefit to your health, and I just love doing it. And so it's nice to have those moments of mindfulness. And it's in those moments, I want to encourage other people to do that, because it's in those quiet moments that sometimes those story ideas come to you and you think, oh my gosh, this is a great idea. I have to share this with people.
Absolutely. What's something totally badass about you that people would not otherwise know?
Ooh, badass. I would say that, I don't know how badass this is, but I remember I posted on Facebook. I was in an acapella group. I was in two acapella groups, one in high school and one in college. And I went back for a reunion a couple of years ago, and I posted video of it on my Facebook feed. And some people that I've known for years were just stunned. They were just like, I had no idea that you have this amazing singing voice. I had no idea that you sang, period. And so I would say, and I was fortunate, in college we actually recorded two albums. And so when I need my moments of kind of like, ooh, I need to remember who I am and what I'm capable of, I will play some of the songs that I soloed on with that. So I feel like that's a little badass.
That's so awesome. I don't know how many times I've said to my husband, I wish I could sing, like, just belt it out. I should just do it, but no one would want to hear it. But that is that is amazing. What do you do for fun or play?
Ooh. So I have to be honest with you. I am a huge storyteller. It is fun for me to journal, to write. And honestly, coaching is fun for me. So I still do a little bit of my life coaching. I'll still help people out, in terms of that realm. So, those are so work oriented. I'm going to find something super fun for you. Okay. I love rowing, indoor rowing. And I used to run a lot of marathons, but I brought that to a close. I just run recreationally now. And gosh, I am addicted to science fiction television shows.
so cool. I love it. Last question for you, Linya. Entrepreneurism, are we born this way, or do we learn to become entrepreneurs?
So I would say both. It's both. It's nature and nurture. I think that there's a little bit of hint in both of those. I think you can have that entrepreneurial, you can be born with that entrepreneurial spark, but not have it nurtured. And sadly, it might, that spark might go out. I think that you can be born, you know, in 9-to-5 world and then have someone plant this seed of entrepreneurship in your brain and think, oh, wow, wait, that could be interesting, even though everybody in my life has, you know, been corporate and that's the only thing that I know. So I think it's both. I think you need both in order to get to that high level.
So great. I love asking that question because no one has the same answer. Linya, it was such a pleasure to have you here today as our guest. Where can we send people to learn more about you?
Absolutely. So people can learn more about impacting millions by going to selenasoo.com. That's just SelenaSoo.com. And you can get on the waiting list to join up, which is going to happen. We're launching in March. So keep an eye out for that. If you want to work with me one-on-one, you can just email me at support@selenasoo.com. And I'm constantly, you know, that's just like on a rotating basis, whether people want to do a couple of sessions or do something long-term. Always here to support people, whether, you know, they're trying to get their story ideas or they need help with their media page or they're trying to figure out, you know, why their pitches aren't working or what have you. And then one thing, can I just have one action step for everybody?
Yes, please. Yeah.
Before we wrap up, and I call this the lazy girl's guide or the lazy entrepreneur's guide to getting publicity. I encourage people to sign up for HARO. If they don't know what that is, it's an acronym. It's spells help a reporter out. It's a free service, so you don't have to pay for this. And it's filled with journalists who are looking for experts to comment on their stories. So you don't even have to come up with a story. All you have to do is read through what they're looking for, see if you qualify, and then write back to them in response to what their questions are. There are smart strategies that I teach people for increasing their likelihood of getting a response from an editor or a segment booker, but I just encourage people to get their feet wet because just being on HARO and getting the emails will teach you what editors and segment bookers are looking for and get you into the habit of communicating with them, and hopefully you get some wins that way also.
Linya, this is fantastic. We're going to hook everybody up with all of these links in our show notes. And I will also let everybody know if you're interested in joining us for our masterclass at the end of January. So it's going to be January 30th at 1 p.m. We will send out a replay for those of you who are like, I've got a job. But I want you to head on over to meganwalker.com/PR masterclass. And you're going to be able to register for it there. Linya, thank you so much for taking the time to be with me today.
Thank you so much for having me. I loved every second of this.
Take care. We'll talk to you soon.
Take care.
If you enjoyed today's episode, I would love, love, love it if you could leave us a review over on Apple Podcasts and come and hang out in the Entrepology Collective, our free community over on Facebook, where we are going to start to unpack your visions moving into 2020 for how we are going to get your message out there to impact millions. As we mentioned in the podcast, Linya and I are going to be hosting a masterclass at the end of January for everyone. Doesn't matter if you're a health entrepreneur, you are doing other amazing things out in this world and you want to get your message out there, we're doing a masterclass on how to start to approach these media outlets. We're also going to be unpacking some of the media strategies that you are already using in your business. So if you want to be part of the conversation, you want to sit in the hot seat on our masterclass that's taking place on January 30th, I'm going to encourage you to come on over and hang out with us in the Entrepology Collective. It's where we're going to be collecting your stories, your ideas, and your questions as we move towards that masterclass at the end of the month. Until next week, go build something amazing, and we will see you here in the same place next Tuesday as we drop a new episode of the Entrepology Podcast.